Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport /fly healthy.
All right, 13 after 7, Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. What does chance of rain really mean? Why you might want to rethink your OnlyFans account if you have kids in Catholic school, and everything you need to know about toilet plume. It is Wednesday, the 24th of February, 2021. We're Jeff and Jen, and here it is, guys. Your news that didn't make the news on Cincinnati's Q102. By the way, today is National Tortilla Chip Day.
Oh, happy National Tortilla Chip Day.
And somehow none of us got the day off work.
I know it. We get ripped off.
In honor of today's very real holiday, a new study looked at Google search data to figure out the most popular dip in every state for tortilla chips or any other kind of chip for that matter. And salsa won the most states with 18. It just beat out guacamole.
Ooh, I love both of those.
With 15 states, yeah. Queso was third with 6 states, and then ranch and buffalo chicken dip both won 3 states.
Quality.
Nice.
I like those Simple Truth blue corn tortilla chips. And they also make a private selection one that comes like in a little tiny, it's called a tortilla strip.
Hmm.
In my opinion, the tortilla strip is phenomenal for dipping.
Yeah, next time you go, I can see that.
Get those.
Yeah, those look good. I'm looking at these other ones. French onion dip, crab dip, and beer cheese dip. Also each one.
Beer cheese.
A state, yeah.
It's been a long time since I had beer cheese.
Got some in my fridge. My friend Meg made it. It's very good.
Nice.
See, I prefer the pretzel with the beer cheese dip.
Yeah. You know?
I'd agree with you on that.
Yeah, I don't really think of that as a tortilla thing, but it could be if I had them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against it.
If it was the only cheese you had for your tortilla.
Did you guys grow up on crab dip? Jeff, like being from the Northeast.
You would think, but we did not.
No. I just was wondering. I don't really see that being one that's like made a lot. You know what I mean? A
lot of great seafood restaurants. I mean, we had access to the freshest, most amazing seafood anywhere. Lobster, but no. No, I didn't really grow up liking crab. In fact, it wasn't until like later in life I even started eating crab cakes. Now I love it.
Me too.
You know. Well, the phrase mind-blowing gets thrown around a lot on the internet, but this truly deserves it. There is a TikTok video going viral right now from a woman who said she just found out the chance of rain in a weather forecast does not mean what we've always thought it means.
I got to tell you, I got into a fight with someone about this last year, and I was wrong. And I called Frank. I called Randy Rico. I reached out to Jennifer Ketchmark, and I wanted to see what their take was on all of this.
Did you think there would be different answers?
There were. All three of them had a different answer.
Really?
But I could sort of take away. They all gave me a gray answer because they didn't want to commit to one or the other. But they all sort of leaned one way. Mm. And that's what Jeff will kind of explain here. But I was adamant. And I was wrong, and I will admit it.
Ooh. Yeah, according to this BuzzFeed article, 30% chance of rain does not mean there is a 3 in 10 chance it will rain. The 30% is based on what the chances are that it's going to rain multiplied by the percentage of the area that will get rain. I got to repeat that again.
I know. I don't understand.
That 30% is based on what the chances that it's going to rain are multiplied by the percentage of the area that will get the rain.
Mm-hmm.
So like geography involved.
Yeah. So
and math.
So 50, let's take 50% to keep it simple. 50% in the forecast doesn't mean there's a 50-50 chance it'll rain. It means there's a chance rain will happen in the area multiplied by how much of the area will probably get that rain. So if a meteorologist is 50% sure there will be rain that will cover 80% of the local area, that would come out as 40% on the weather forecast.
Got it?
I just look for the emojis.
It just sounds unnecessarily complicated.
Right.
Me,
but
know?
I don't know how else you do it.
All right. So here's the TikTok video that's blowing people's minds right now. Let's see if it makes any more sense listening to that.
Probability of precipitation, or POPs, as we call it for short. It's a pretty simple equation. Confidence times coverage. Okay. Most often this is used for coverage. So let's say that I'm 100% sure that 30% of the forecast area will see at least some measurable rain. Then
Yeah. That's what I want to know. If you're 100% sure that what? That part of the area is going to receive
times coverage. Okay, most often this is used for coverage. So let's say that I'm 100% sure that 30% of the forecast area will see at least some measurable rain. Then I'd forecast a 30% chance for rain, right? Basically, to boil it down, if you stay in one spot all day and there's a 30% chance for rain, then you have a 30% chance for rain. If you move around a little bit throughout the day, your chances will go up. Important to remember, the percentage has nothing to do with how much rain falls. You could have a 10% chance for rain and still end up with flooding if you get caught under a rogue thunderstorm. Now, it also doesn't really help that a lot of different meteorologists have different definitions, but this is the actual technical definition.
That's why when Tim called Randy and Frank, and who else did you reach out to?
Jennifer Ketchmark at Channel 9.
That's why you got three different answers.
Mm-hmm. They all sort of work saying the same thing, but Frank said it one way. Jennifer was like, well, it's really, you know, where we're just, we can say this or we can say that, but everyone thinks it's something different, so we kind of just meet in the middle. And Randy was like, no, it's definitely this. And just, I don't know.
It fascinating, isn't it?
It didn't really make me feel different about what I initially thought.
You're still going to feel there's confused. A 30% chance of rain. There's 30% rain.
Yep.
Not where I am in the tri-state that I'm going to see 30%.
Yep. I'm just going to go with any percentage, it might rain today.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they should just
rain.
Say. Because it also sounds like if there's an 80% chance of rain, you feel like it is just going to be downpours all day long.
It's probably
going to
rain today.
Right. But downpours, like 80% makes me feel like 80% of the bucket is going to fill up.
Now,
that's wrong, but it feels that way.
It was, it was so much easier. Weather in Florida is so much easier because it's the same every single day throughout the year.
It's very predictable.
It's, You know,
during the summertime that it's going to be hazy, hot, and humid with a high around 93, with a good chance of thunderstorms this afternoon and a high of 93.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Pop-up storm around 3 p.m.
Yep.
Just in time to head
right
in from the
Jen,
beach and take
right
a nap.
Right when Jen is leaving for work. Yep. She's good. There'll be a torrential downpour, and I will be absolutely soaked going from the building to my car.
Right. And most of that stuff is going to move on out of here by the time Jeff gets off the air at 7 p.m.
And the sun will be back out, and it's time to have a drink.
That's right.
Yeah. How fun.
I know. But it would be so much easier, though, if you could just break it down like, there's a 1 in 10 chance of rain today.
For who?
That's why I say, depending on where you are.
Yes, there you go.
Well,
you got
how
it covered.
Hard is it to be a meteorologist, though?
It sounds like it's really hard.
I mean, seriously.
Because everybody hates you.
Yes. They get yelled at for being wrong all the time. Yeah. But how are they supposed to be right when we don't even understand what they're trying to do?
Crazy maps that are not in color going, this is the European model based against the blah, blah, blah model. And the forces of the northern winds in the Pacific.
Our 17 radars are telling us
Power
different
five,
things.
What's it telling me? I don't know.
And then you get all these new things like thunder snow.
Yes.
What the hell is that?
You're right.
Cantori and his thunder snow. You want to talk about a guy who loves weather, like really passionate about weather.
Bald guy, right?
Yeah.
Is that the guy that's always out in the hurricane?
Yes. He's real muscular and he's bald.
Yes.
That
okay.
Dude,
I know
very
who he
enthusiastic.
Is. And he's always yelling.
A lot of passion.
And he's like, there's 75 mile an hour winds, Jennifer. And he's like, in it.
Yeah, I was watching him one time. I forget what storm this was, but he got way too excited about lightning during a snowstorm, which, let's face it, that's.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, yes, yes.
He was in, I know where he was. He was in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and he was reporting on a snowstorm from up there. Because he always goes, the Weather Channel has a lot of meteorologists, but Jim Cantori is kind of the top dog. He's been there the longest. and he loves to just be where the action is.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's like a major weather event taking place across the country, like this last storm that we had, he's got to be in the worst possible place.
Yeah.
And every now and then when an event occurs, especially when he's live, he loses his freaking mind, as he did in Plymouth, Massachusetts, back in 2015 during a winter storm there.
Oh, yes, 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 we got it, baby. We got it. We got it. Woo!
Lightning during a snowstorm, which, yeah, agreed, that's not something that happens
every
day.
It's rare, right?
Woo! We got it. Yes. Listen to that. Listen to that.
The doctor in the studio, I can't think of his name, kind of like he's the Dr. Honeydew of the Muppets, but he's the Weather Channel version guy.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
His excitement level is a little bit different.
Yeah, just the opposite.
Oh, baby! Oh, again! Again! That's a twofer! That's a two for me.
I mean, how do you make weather exciting? Listen to this guy.
Yes, that's a twofer. Oh my goodness. Yes, again, that's a three. You gotta be kidding me.
I mean, I guess this is the kind of stuff you live for. You know, when you're a kid growing up, you're fascinated by the weather and predicting the weather, and you go to school for this, and you get to do it for a living. I mean, this guy's living the dream.
You gotta be kidding me. Oh, my God.
And, you know, the things you get to witness, too, when you're out live on location, because,
imagine
travel all over the country.
We would have paid really close attention when they were teaching us about all the different kinds of clouds.
Oh, my God.
And if we got really excited about that, and all we needed for entertainment was to step outside as a child and look.
There's a stratus! There's a stratus!
Exactly.
Look at the fluff!
But, no, I slept through every one of those clouds.
Have really picked up in through here. And there's another one. That's number. You got to be kidding me.
How is
you
this even happening?
You can have your $500 million jackpot in Powerball or whatever the heck it was, but I'll take this, baby. Four lightning strikes. Four episodes of Thunder Snow. I could hear thunder, so we had another one. So we actually had five strikes, five thunder. I mean, this is just a total change. Literally within an hour. Was that another one? Was that? Oh, my goodness. Dude, that's number six.
Dude.
You gotta be kidding me.
How disappointed do you think he's gonna be when he finds out the whole time it was aliens?
Aw. Did you guys ever have the weatherman come to your school?
Yes, all the time.
We thought it was so fantastic. Like, he would come when I was at Glen Swing Elementary. He would come, whoever the weatherman was, would come, and he always brought like a leaf blower. And he would randomly select kids to go to the front of the room to get the leaf blower to the face to mock what it was like to be in a hurricane. And you always wanted to be the kid that was picked for the leaf blower experience.
That's so funny. When we were in Boston for my mother's funeral, I told you guys we had a snowstorm the night before the funeral where we literally had 17 and a half inches of snow dumped on us. And so I, of course, am turning on Channel 5 in Boston. Dr. Harvey Leonard is the meteorologist there who's been there since I was a child. He's the guy that used to come to our school. And I'm like, honey, I'm trying to convey to Kristen how excited I am that Harvey Leonard is still doing the four. He's still on
honey,
the air.
He's still on.
I'm like, you don't understand. This guy came to our school. He's awesome.
Dude, I'm telling you, we're just getting, honestly, for lack of a better analogy, we are getting absolutely puked on right now.
Oh, God.
I love him. That's a guy you want to come to your school right there. Yes. Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel.
Little boys are savages. I have three little boys. Each of them has headbutted me for no reason at all.
Oh, well, we are in church. Okay.
When you have a daughter, you have thoughts like, maybe I should save for med school. When you have a son, you're like, there's going to be a couple rounds of rehab. I have three boys, two girls. I have enough kids where even Mormons are like, you should settle down. I travel with my kids. My two youngest are 3 and 5-year-old boys. And traveling with boys that age is like transferring serial killers between prisons. We've seen the movie. You know it doesn't work out. My 3-year-old, I love him, but he's eternally in a bad mood. He always has a look on his face like he's going to shiv you with a crayon. Or he's pooping. And sometimes it's both. And our 5-year-old, he's an escape artist. He's the El Chapo of children. You just put him down and he runs. And then I have to pay my 12-year-old to go get him.
It's Jim Gaffigan from, I don't know, one of his Netflix specials. You said you just saw one recently,
I just
right?
saw that one.
Oh, that?
Shortly, yeah. Brian Regan just had a new one released yesterday on Netflix.
He's great. I love him.
Yeah.
I
saw most of it.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's so funny.
Yeah.
So we've all had that moment when we're driving and the check engine light comes on.
And that can come on for a lot of different reasons,
it's just a sensor.
Right?
I'll just give it till tomorrow. It's just a sensor, probably.
This literally just happened to me last week when we were driving here. I was driving here the last Wednesday, the day after the big ice storm or whatever, and this light came on my car, and it said brake system.
And oh, I'm well, like, at least yours is somewhat specific.
Well, it said that. The information check engine light came on, and then there was a separate light that said brake system. And It happened right when I was getting off at Reading Road, and I just pulled in the parking lot. Mm. And I'm like, man, maybe it'll just turn off when I start my car back up.
Because you just don't want to deal with it.
Because I don't. I'm like, well, I'm going to have to call AAA and get a tow. Maybe it's just all the salt on the tire.
It's just like when there's a weird smell. So you're like, it's probably the car in front of me.
Yeah, it'll go away.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Ah, damn it. What's wrong now?
I thought he was going to play that driver's
I did
license.
Too.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh.
I thought the same thing, Jen.
Nope, but a lot of people have had that moment where the check engine light comes on, and we've also had that moment where we just ignore it, figure it'll go away on its own, and keep on driving. But according to a new survey, people will drive around for an average of 9 days with that check engine light on before they actually take their car into the shop.
Yeah, that light actually makes me nervous. I get worried about that one.
Especially with children.
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Survey also found that almost half of Americans have been late to an event or missed it completely because of their car breaking down.
I mean, I'll go 20,000 miles before I get an oil change, but that light comes on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's 2021. I feel like cars ought to be able to give you more specific information. Like, well, I don't know what this means. So now I got to pay a guy to just look at it.
That's why.
And then tell me. That's maddening. But I like that Fritz just says
brake system.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Well, the thing that I don't enjoy about it, though, when like for my car, the check engine light will come on if I have a tire low.
Or if you don't put your gas tank thing screwed on the right way.
The cap.
Yeah.
But it also has like a separate thing that tells me that. Like when it'll have like the check engine light comes on and then it's got like a little eye, which I think means information. I don't know. But when you hit the button to go through on the eye, it'll tell you like tire deflated or something. I don't know. I don't know. This is one part of my life that I do not enjoy. I love having someone else handle for me the buttons and the lights in the car.
Anything and everything vehicle related.
Totally, Jen.
From cleaning it.
Yes.
To maintenance.
To even putting gas in it for me occasionally. I'm a big fan of that as well.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That check engine light will drive me nuts. I got to take care of it immediately. I can't wait. It's just, it's annoying me. It's all I can see. Mm. I try to look away, but no, I see it in the corner of my eye. It's in my peripheral vision.
I'm glad they make it orange, though, or else I probably wouldn't notice it.
Yeah.
Because I never look down. I need a light to tell me I need gas. What I need a light is like, same. I need a light that says, okay, you're going over 80 now.
No, I don't want that light.
Mine has that. I can put I can set it for a speed.
Yeah.
Same.
And once I hit that speed, it'll ding at me and say whoa. Yeah.
What speed do you have
my
it set at? 90?
That too. I don't even know if I turned it
on. They're making them now where it beams up on your windshield. Like, you know, like a speed alert or whatever. Yeah, including your check engine light. So for folks like Jen who never actually look at the dash of the instrument panel, you just beam it right there on your windshield.
That's probably a really good idea.
Yeah.
That's a feature I'm going to look for next time.
No, because what's going to happen is you're going to be like, how do I turn that off?
I know. I don't know. I want to go over 80.
I don't like looking at that thing.
Just
looking
like,
at me.
I don't like that lane thing that, you know, where it takes over your wheel.
Oh, you can disable that.
Oh, I have.
Lane assist.
Because
bye.
And a ding, ding, ding.
Isn't it so funny, though, that that's those are the, like, selling parts of cars that people are really enjoying
the safety features.
Yes. And I
until you drive with it and then you're like, that's annoying.
I don't want
it. Shut it off.
I turn it off. Yeah. Tim, you have yours on.
I have mine on.
Yeah. Because that you can feel, because I've been in his car and it'll be like,
it goes beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
After a while, you don't notice it.
I don't mind it. I'm usually in my lane.
No, I'm not.
Tim keeps it on because he knows he needs it.
There for my protection. You know, I might need it one day.
Drives like a New York City cab driver. IKEA is getting in on the tiny house movement you may have heard about.
They should. Everything in there is designed for like teeny apartments.
I think they're perfect for this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't actually know anyone who's gotten one, but then again, you know, we don't live in a super large metro like New York or San Francisco, but yeah.
I know people that build them and design them and decorate them.
Yeah, I do.
The big business.
I like the concept. I think it's really cool. I don't know that as much as I like to purge and get rid of things, I don't know that I'm quite ready to take the micro house step.
Because you would take, what's the smallest place you've ever lived? Like 700 square feet? I think, wasn't your place in OTR? Wasn't that about 700 square feet?
It was 727 to be exact.
So a tiny house would be, what, a third of that?
187 square feet.
Okay.
On or about. Like so, in this case.
Almost a fourth of that.
Yeah, so IKEA teamed up with a company called Escape to sell 187 square foot tiny houses with built-in furniture, a collapsible desk, a queen size bed, and a small kitchen and bathroom, all for $47,550.
Have you guys ever been inside one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how everything you know, the most basics of what you need,
right,
all fits.
Yes. And if
blows
I
my mind.
If I wasn't with Kristen, I'd consider it.
Yeah.
Is it bigger than this room or smaller than the room we're in?
I don't know how many square feet smaller. Is this room?
Smaller. Wow.
Well, a lot of it's they do two stories too, you know. I mean, the ceiling would just be this high, but you know, like the kitchen is under the bed that's up on a little loft area. Where would you park your tiny house, though? I mean, where would you put it? Because, I mean, people are getting them and putting them on the side of a mountain, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could either purchase a small plot of land or maybe even just rent a space in a park.
Because that's what I would do. I would, like, you know, it'd be on a close to a cliff overlooking the ocean or...
You probably spend more money on that piece of land than you would on the house itself.
Sure.
Can you drive it around? Is that or is
they usually like think of it as a camper, basically.
So you have to pull it behind your car.
They arrive on top of a flatbed trailer, and you have to put it together yourself.
The IKEA ones?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
It would be so IKEA though. They hand you a little folded piece of paper.
A little happy man with no words.
Here's your little pouch of all the.
Knock yourself out.
Screws and tools that you need, right? Now, the homes are delivered already built.
With an Allen wrench. That's it, the whole house.
That's all you need. It's a universal Allen wrench. And, they do come on top of a flatbed trailer in the event you want to move it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Getting in on the micro house movement. Micro homes. Micro condos, tiny houses. And if you've ever, ever needed evidence of how much easier today's kids have it than we did, this is Exhibit A. There is a new Rubik's Cube on sale that gives you instructions on how to solve it. It connects to an app on your phone that guides you through every twist you need to make. Plus, it gives you some general Rubik's Cube tips kind of along the way.
The Rubik's Connected Cube, a new interactive way to solve. Are you still struggling to complete that Rubik's Cube? All you need is a virtual tutor. Power your solve. Connected Cube from Rubik's.
It actually sounds cool, but these things are really expensive. If you want a Rubik's Connected Cube, it'll set you back $60.
Well, listen, I was a kid. I learned how to solve it. I think I had a book that kind of taught you the steps. And after you do it, you know, a few times, then you can do it totally
pretty quickly
on your own really fast without using the book. So there's still a book out there somewhere that'll show you how to do it.
It's all over YouTube as well. Like, and it has to do with counting, right, Jen? Like, don't you find, like,
it's
like the color in the corner of the whatever, and then you count, and then you count, and then you count something?
Well, you start by making a it's different patterns and processes of the patterns and the twists and the turns to get each cube exactly where it's supposed to go. There's a definite way to get there.
Just YouTube it.
By the way, the TSA just released their annual list of the top 10 catches from last year. Can you imagine being a TSA agent? Or they're not agents anymore now. They're officers.
Officers?
Yeah, they changed. I was told they went from agents to officers for morale reasons.
Who do they? What agency are they under? Are they with the FBI? Are they with, do you know, are they like official officers? I mean, are they cops?
I would guess.
What
Homeland,
are they?
My guess would be Homeland Security. No.
Yeah, I think so, because I was on vacation one time with a guy that worked at the airport, and his ultimate goal was to work for Homeland Security and be a TSA agent at LaGuardia or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I should know that since I, you know, do a lot of work with CBG. I should probably look that up.
You're the travel guy.
Yeah. But someone, I guess, tried to fly out of Syracuse, New York with a dead baby shark.
Now, why would you want to do that?
Floating in a container of chemical preservatives.
Ooh.
Eesh. Why? They confiscated it because the chemicals were too dangerous to be in the air. So, I guess, what, if you want to bring your dead baby shark on a plane next year, you can do it, just do it without the chemicals?
I don't know how you can take rotting fish on a plane, because that's essentially what it'll do if it's not in the...
Oh, yeah. Well, don't you remember when you would go to science class and they would have, like, the animals in the formaldehyde and you could look at them and stuff? Maybe it was like that, like a science teacher or something?
Ugh. Yeah. Speaking of CBG, we got some new nonstop flights coming to Cincinnati to Key West.
Yay! Let's go!
Man, I can't remember the last time I set foot in Key West. And last time I was in Key West, I couldn't afford to really stay there or enjoy it.
I've never been, but I did hear my boyfriend's been before, and he said, like, there's all these chickens and roosters that are just
running everywhere.
Yeah.
I would love to go someday. Maybe next year. The low-cost direct flight to Key West is the only in the region which will operate on Wednesdays and Saturdays beginning June 9th. So you'll be able to fly nonstop to Key West on Allegiant out of CBG starting on June 9th. Vacation Express is restarting service to Cancun.
Those are good, Tim. Those are those nonstop flights.
Service to Punta Cana begins in March,
woo-hoo!
Followed by Montego Bay and Cabo San Lucas in May.
Yay! Travel!
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I put it up yesterday. I just was having a day with my toddler, and I was like, who needs a vacation? And I wrote it on the Jeff and Jen page, and there's like 200 comments and memes and people just being like, me, me, me.
Yeah, I generally need 2 trips a year. I just gotta go.
I was just talking with Patty about it yesterday. She's like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm fine.
I'm as fine
like,
as can be expected.
I think I've maxed it out. It took me a year, but I think I'm...
You're ready to go.
I'm over it.
It's a
happy.
Little...
The sun's out. I'm feeling good, but my body is saying something different.
Yep.
You need a break.
Need a break.
Now, Sun Country Airlines is a new ultra-low-cost carrier. They're known for their free in-flight entertainment. They will begin nonstop service out of CBG to Minneapolis on May 14th.
That'll be fun.
It'll be warmer in May. May not be the beach, but, you know, since we have corporate headquarters out of Minneapolis, that could be handy.
Yeah, also, I've always heard Minneapolis is a cool town. I've always, you know.
I loved it.
That's been a town I'd like to go, you know, spend a long weekend in.
So, there you go. A lot of options there. 746, Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. We got a brand new second date update coming up in the next 10 minutes. I guess the Tooth Fairy's finances haven't been hit too hard by the pandemic because payouts, I just heard Fritz talking about this earlier, payouts, Tooth Fairy payouts have hit an all-time high. Delta Dental, they do their annual Tooth Fairy poll every year. And the latest one just came out. They found out that the national average is now $4.70 per tooth.
Huh.
That's a lot.
She's still paying out more for the front ones? I think they're worth more because that's a big deal when the front ones fall out.
I always heard like the first tooth, I think, is a big deal with the Tooth Fairy. But then after that, I think it kind of levels off.
$4.70 per tooth, up 67 cents from last year and 4 cents higher than the old record from 2017. I'll tell you what, kids in the Northeast, they get the biggest payouts. They get $5.72 per tooth. Kids out west are next at $5.54, then the south at $4.45. Here in the Midwest, man, we get the least for our teeth here. Midwest is lower at just $3.66 a tooth. We're lagging. They've been doing the survey every year since 1998 when the average price per tooth was only $1.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show Podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport / fly healthy.